Good morning. Firstly, can I add my welcome to you all joining us this morning for a church online. My name is Tony, and I'm one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church in Hereford. And if you've been following us over the last few weeks, you'll know that we're currently sharing from the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is a book in the New Testament of the Bible, and it was written about the beginning of the Christian church, and it following the death and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it tells the story of how the early church started and then how over time it grew and it spread, taking the good news or the gospel across many parts of the world, as it was mandated to do by Jesus himself. It's an amazing history of the church and how it grew despite the many obstacles and challenges it faced along the way. How these new followers of Jesus Christ were led and empowered by God's Holy Spirit to bring a message of hope to a world that had no hope. To bring joy where there was only strife. To bring peace where there was only turmoil. And today, that message still holds true. Last week, Danny shared from Acts chapters 6 and 7, looking at the life and the death of one of the early church martyrs, Stephen. This morning, I'm taking my message from Acts chapter 8. In particular, I want to look at some lessons that we can learn from a man called Philip. Before I delve into the story of Philip, I just want to give an overview of what happens in this chapter. Well, the chapter starts following the stoning of Stephen, which sets off more persecution of the church in Jerusalem. As a result of that, the church scatters abroad to places like Samaria and Judea. Philip, who we'll be looking at in a minute for instance, preached and did miracles in Samaria. Now, one person who believed the message that Philip brought to Samaria was a man named Simon, and he was a sorcerer. Now, although the people believed in Simon and they followed Simon, eventually Simon, when he listened to Philip, and looked at the miracles that Philip did, he actually ended up following Philip. Now, as we go through the chapter, although a number of the apostles remained in Jerusalem at the time, John and Peter, two of Jesus' original disciples, went to Samaria when they heard what was happening with Philip. They laid hands on people, they prayed for people, they went round and they helped people to receive the Holy Spirit. Simon, however, this sorcerer that I talked about, offer them money in exchange for their powers. But Peter made it very clear that you couldn't buy such power. It was a gift from God that couldn't be bought at any price. So that's just a very overview of where we've got to in this chapter, and you can read the stories for yourself. But I want to look now more specifically thereafter at Philip's story. So I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I'm going to start at chapter 8 at verse 25 to the end of the chapter. So after testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, Was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So there's the story of Philip. What I want to do now is look a little bit at Philip. So who was this person called Philip? Well, he was actually one of the very first, what we call church deacons. So he was a spiritual man actually responsible for the practical things in the church, including, for example, running probably the first type of food bank operated by the church at that time. He helped and was involved with the distribution of food to the less well-off. Something, again, we very familiar with that today, with what's going on. But that was one of his main jobs was in the church, was to help run the food bank. Now, by the time we see him here, he's a powerful preacher of the gospel. So with persecution having been struck the church in Jerusalem, people fled. Philip did the same, and he went down to Samaria, as we know. And God did amazing things through him. People were receptive to his message. Many people received salvation. God's power was evident. But in the midst of this power, in the midst of all of this work, in the midst of all this amazing stuff that was going on, Philip is told by God to depart and go to Gaza, a desert place. Luke specifically, Luke, by the way, is the writer of Acts, he specifically calls Gaza a desert place. In other words, uninhabited. So Philip goes from a place full of people, from a place where lots was happening, where God was moving, to a place that was uninhabited. God took Philip from a place of fruitfulness to a place where no one lived. But as we see, as the story unfolds, we can see why. God's plan becomes clear. What we have, as we saw in that story, is a prominent Ethiopian official heading back home after being to Jerusalem. He's reading the book of Isaiah, but doesn't understand the text. Philip then sees him, asks him if he can teach him. The Ethiopian obliges, and Philip proceeds to explain the passage about Christ, subsequently leading him to faith. So what are some of the lessons that we can learn from this moment in Acts, this portion of Philip's life? I've got four key points that I would like to share this morning that I believe can help us whether we are followers of Christ or not. Firstly, God's leadership of our lives often defies our own understanding. God had something for Philip in the desert, but it took faith for Philip to go. He was in the middle of all sorts of amazing stuff. There was joy, there was salvation, there was gladness. Everything they could have hoped for in the early church. God was moving, the Spirit was moving. Things were happening. And in the midst of all of that, God moves him to the desert. Sometimes God has something for you and something for me in the desert. Even when we feel we are in a desert place, God can use us miraculously. One of the scriptures that Leslie and I shared recently in our morning devotion was from Proverbs 3, verse 5. It said this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." As we each try to deal with the consequences of coronavirus, finding ourselves in very different places from where we were, maybe we feel in a desert place. financially, spiritually, physically, emotionally. God can use us mightily beyond our own human understanding, just like he used Philip. It just takes faith to see that even in the desert, God has plans to use each of us to reach others for the good news of Jesus Christ. Second point, many people are searching for answers that bring meaning to their lives. The Ethiopian man, a servant of Queen Candace, he'd gone to Jerusalem, maybe to experience God. He'd gone to the temple, but he returned and really didn't experience what he was hoping for. And so he was reading the scriptures, the scroll of Isaiah, and he was longing to know this God that he was reading about. There are people like that Ethiopian today. Maybe that's you right now watching, in search of a deeper, more meaningful life. There are many who have yet unfulfilled lives with many questions. And God, by his Spirit, is ready to speak to them, ready to speak to you. In fact, he urges you to call out to him so that he can speak to you. It says in Jeremiah chapter 33, call to me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and wonderful things which you do not know. I was in that place back in my early 20s. Although both Leslie and I had really good jobs, dual income, no kids, which was meant we were called dinkies at the time, there was something missing in our lives, something that the world couldn't provide. Couldn't put my finger on it, didn't quite know what it was. And so we started just to search for answers. At that point, God intervened. He sent us our very own Philip, who happened to be called William, a Christian businessman that I was working with at the time. He led us to his church and then led us to Jesus. We both found what we were looking for as God met us where we were. Now, if you're watching this right now, maybe you too have many questions that seem impossible to answer. Maybe you're finding it hard to understand quite now what's going on in the world with lockdown, social distancing, isolation. Maybe you've been personally affected by the virus or have close family members that have. Maybe you're even grieving the loss of someone close, trying to make sense of all that can seem impossible. Often in the desert place, we have the time and the space to ponder on things we just find too hard to understand. If you do have questions and you are not yet a Christian, you're not yet a follower of Jesus, but you've got lots of questions, just like this Ethiopian did, then there is a really good course called the Alpha Course, which we are running online, so you haven't got to come into a meeting, and you can do it online from the comfort of your own living room. And it starts on April the 29th at 7:30. If you want to know more, then please just go to our website or go onto our Facebook page, and there is lots of information about how you can join the Alpha Group. Like with the eunuch, God can also send us a Philip, somebody who can help us understand God's word, what we need to hear for ourselves. Maybe you are somebody else's Philip. Which brings me to my next point. Third point, we must obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Philip was told by the angel to go to the desert. Once there, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, we don't know how the Spirit spoke to Philip, but we do know that the Spirit lived inside him. Perhaps he had experienced a simple inner prompting, something, a voice, something that told him to do what he did. Philip knew the Spirit was speaking to him, so he went. Every Christian believer today, in obeying the prompting of the Spirit, may be able to bring clarity and insight to others seeking the truth. Philip listened to the Spirit, and this man was saved. We need to constantly be open to hear and respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to put people on our heart at this time that we can contact via social media and encourage. Pray for a word of encouragement that you could help a neighbour with. I'd like to remind you of a challenge we've got at the moment. Hashtag how's my neighbour. Pop a note through a neighbour's door. Tell them we're praying for them. Ask them for any prayer requests. Maybe include a scripture that can really speak to them. Whatever we do, like Philip, we need to be in this desert place at this time, open to the prompting of the Spirit to help those who are looking for answers. Which brings me to my final point. The Bible holds the key. The man told Philip what he had been reading. The passage could not have been more perfect. God had set Philip up nicely. So with ease, he entered into a dialogue and was able to tell him about the good news of Jesus. Maybe times will come when you can open up the word of Christ to another. It is a powerful, living word that can penetrate the heart in ways that our efforts of persuasion and clever theology cannot. The man pondered a passage in Isaiah and it connected with him. It spoke to him in ways that Philip could not. And after being explained, it led him to Jesus. That's the power of the word. Now, over the past few weeks, whilst in lockdown, Leslie, my wife, has connected with various people via social media. And one of the things she's done is sent portions of scripture to them to comfort them and provide hope. And this includes people who are not Christian, and yet they have been giving words from the Bible. By the Spirit's prompting, our prayer is that these words will go to the heart of these people in ways that Leslie, with all her amazing gifting as a speaker and as a teacher, could not. We're praying that the word will penetrate the heart and soul of those receiving it and will change their lives forever, just like it did the eunuch. In Hebrews 4, it says this: God's word is living and powerful. It is sharper than a sword that cuts both ways. It cuts straight into where the soul and spirit meets, and it divides them. It cuts into the joints and bones. It tells what the heart is thinking about and what it wants to do. The word of God connects with the heart and soul and minds of people. It speaks. It speaks to me and it speaks to you. Today, if you're searching for the truth, if you're looking for answers, find a Bible. Whether it's a physical one or go online, there are loads of Bibles. I download Bibles and start to read it. Ask God, which bit should I read? He will show you. It will speak to you. Just like the eunuch, our lives can be forever changed by the power of God's word. Philip is a fascinating character, especially when you consider the various ways God led him. He was led to Samaria by persecution. He was led to Gaza by an angel. He was led to the Ethiopian's chariot by the Spirit. And then after all of this, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And he found himself at Azotus. He passed through various towns preaching the gospel before entering Caesarea, where he lived for at least 20 years, raising a family with four daughters devoted to Christ. But none of this had been planned by Philip. When the widows complained that they were neglected in the daily distribution of food, and the church decided to appoint seven good men for the task, they asked Philip if he could help, and he said yes. He submitted himself to that task, and the rest is history. Philip went for it, and God exploded into a beautiful life. What might happen if we say yes to the Lord? So, to the church listening this morning, I would like to say this. Even in the desert place, we can say yes and see what God will do. However mundane our role, however unimportant we think we are, no matter how isolated or restricted we may find ourselves, like Philip, God is able to use us to bring hope to those seeking it. And for those of you watching who are searching for answers, maybe for the first time, maybe just trying to figure out what is this Christianity all about, I want to say this to you. Like the eunuch, open the Bible or find a person who can share the word of God with you and let his Holy Spirit speak to your heart. It will change your life forever, just as it did the eunuch, just as it did for me and for Leslie many years ago, and for many millions of others around the world. I'd just like us to pray. If you can join me, that would be great. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you have given us your word so that it can change our lives. Help us, Father, as we are going through this situation, to find the word that will work for us at this time, that will go to our very hearts and our very souls and change our lives. Whether we've known you for ages or though you don't even know who you are yet, you can bring word to our lives that will change us forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. God, guys, bless you. Have a great day. Amen.